Morning, I want to do is just really take a story which is well known from the Book of Kings and then just share a little bit, and maybe that will give you a little bit of an indication of what the story is going to be about. So if you have a Bible, if you can turn to the second Book of Kings, and we're going to go to chapter 4 and we're going to read the first 7 verses. 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 1 to 7. The words will also come up on the screen, hopefully. So if you haven't brought a Bible, you can follow it on there. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. And they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." And that's a very familiar story to most of us this morning. And the scene is really set before us of a lady whose husband has died. She's been left with the responsibility of two sons. Her husband has been a very godly man. He's been one of a group of prophets who have had the pleasure and the joy of working along beside one of the great prophets, Elisha. But following the husband's death, it's discovered that, unfortunately, he has left her with a financial crisis. The debt appears to be huge. It's so serious that it looks likely that both her sons will be sold to the creditors because of the enormous debt that she owed. There are obviously no savings. There appear to be very few possessions in the house that can be sold. And this lady's back is right up against the wall. There are a few options that she can take. The scene is a sad one. It's one of misery, perhaps one of total despair. And this lady is really down and out in the natural sense. But right in the middle of the despair, she woke really to the reality of the situation that she was in. "If I don't do something, I'm going to lose my family." And in turning to Elisha, as she did, she was in fact turning to none other than God. And what she was doing was facing honestly the reality of the situation that she was in. "This is where things are at. This is where I am. And this is the situation that I'm in at this present time." And some of us at times don't really want to do that, because when we take a real honest look at the situation that we're in, it possibly feels that we're under a greater pressure and responsibility to actually do something about it. And what I want to do is to look at the first part of this story together before moving on to the second half, because I believe that there are some analogies and some parallels which the Holy Spirit this morning might just challenge us and speak to us about. Because if we as churches and as a region are really going to fulfill what God has put in our hearts, the vision perhaps he's given for some of us along the coast and up to Canterbury and across to Ramsgate, then everybody has to play their part and they have to take responsibility. But we can't do that if we're in a state where there is little oil, or if the oil is running out, or if the jar is nearly empty. If we see that our backs are against the wall all the time, or there is a feeling of indifference within our hearts, whether we're just part of the body of Christ, or whether we're leaders or have some form of responsibility, Because quite often we can find ourselves in that sort of state, and what happens is we tend to revert to human effort. And illogically, we try to work harder and harder and harder, where actually what we need is the oil of God's Holy Spirit to be flowing through us. And I just want us to take a little bit of a rain check this morning, and just really just stop for a moment and honestly perhaps face the reality of the situations that we're in at this particular time, whatever that may be. It may be very personal, it may be something family, it may be something church-wise, but for some of you, everything will be okay, and praise God if you're living a happy, rosy life. For others, it could be really, really good. For a few, there may be circumstances that you're in that are almost beyond your control at this moment in time, because we are family, and or we're families coming together, and we don't want to leave people floundering or churches floundering by themselves and struggling to move forward in what you believe God has put into your hearts. Certainly, I think, as Nick indicated, you know, that for SKCC, we've been going through some changes and we've been going through some struggles, particularly financially, in the last season of our church life. And those things tend to help you just focus a little bit more. When I say honestly face the reality of your present situation, obviously the first place that we start is our personal relationship and our walk with Jesus this morning, because that is the key to everything, and that is the key to each of our lives this morning. So if we can just keep this story as a backdrop and what we've read this morning, then we can just begin to look at a few things. And maybe the first question that I would ask this morning is, have you allowed death to creep into your relationship with the Lord Jesus? Do you feel a little bit like this widowed lady? You've been cut off from the source of joy. You've been cut off from the source of life. Has your life, for whatever reason, become somewhat aimless or pointless this morning? Maybe you desire for something better, but you just can't seem to find it. It just seems to be hard work, struggle, struggle, struggle. I think most of us have probably been there at times over a season of our Christian lives, and it's a horrible place to be in. It's almost like you're walking around constantly with this sort of dead feeling in your life, saying, oh, I wish I could just get out of this. And actually, you could be sitting next to a dead person this morning, not physically, but spiritually. On the outside, they look great, but inside, there's a terrible sense of death. I believe God wants to change that for some of us this morning. The second question that I want to ask this morning is, maybe some of you have sold out to your creditors instead of to the Lord. And that can happen in all sorts of ways. It can be that we've got into financial difficulties. We've maybe become very materialistic. Maybe work has consumed our time. Maybe it's pleasure, and now we're beginning to pay the price. Maybe other things have taken priority in our lives other than the Lord Jesus. Maybe a few of us feel that we've lost or about to lose our children. By that this morning, I don't mean literally, but I mean spiritually. And I know for some, as I've talked to people down over the years, it's painful when you see your children drifting away from what you believe that God has wanted and has put into their lives and put in your hearts for their lives. Almost they've been kidnapped by the world. They're there, but in many ways, they're not there. They've become slaves, or they've come under the pressure of their peers, slaves to fashion, slaves to entertainment, maybe slaves to some unhealthy relationships. They're bored with church. They don't see a church which has power. They see a powerless church, and maybe it's insignificant compared to what is a fast-moving, very attracting lifestyle that many of their friends live. And then fourthly, Maybe you've tended to rely on someone else for your spiritual life. Maybe the widow found her security in her husband this morning, but then realized now he's gone, there is a great big void. Maybe you've never really settled the issue for knowing God for yourself in a personal way. And I'm sure that this lady had drawn much from her husband and much of it had been good. She knew that she could not live a life of faith by proxy. It had to be between her and God. Someone else couldn't represent her. And we can do that, can't we, as children and as teenagers? We can live our Christian lives through our mums and through our dads. We can make all the right noises. We can say all the right things, but we always live in their shadow. We never really know God for ourselves. And we can even do that through our husbands or through our wives. We can walk in their shadow. And we can almost pretend that we have the same relationship with God as they do. And so we really need to move in a step of faith into our own personal relationship with Christ, where I know the reality of what it is to know him in a personal way, where I know his presence, where I can prove him on a daily basis for myself. And this is exactly what this lady did. She faced her situation with great honesty, because this lady began to mean business. And so she seeks out Elisha, and she turns to Elisha and she says, "Please help me." Elisha responded with those words, which must have been so welcoming. "How can I help you?" Words of reassurance. And Elisha's opening question is, "Tell me what you've got in your house." What do you mean? What have I got in my house? Bit of a silly question to ask. Maybe you think it's a stupid question, but that wasn't her response. I want you to see the humility that was in this lady. She said, "Your servant has nothing except for a little bit of oil." And sometimes I think when we find people's backs against the wall, they want to shout and they want to blame and they want to say, "It's all your fault. If you'd have been there for me, if you'd have done this, you'd have done that." And I've heard leaders say that when they've fallen morally. They blamed whoever should have been looking after them or looking out for them. But this widow could have blamed her husband for leaving her in such a poor condition. She could have blamed Mr. Elisha, the prophet, for not doing more for her or not keeping an eye on her husband and doing the things as a husband should have done. No, she took a very humble stance. Notice the words, "Your servant has nothing there at all." Perhaps indicating that she'd gone looking for Elisha. She wasn't back at her house. Maybe she was out for fear of the creditors coming and knocking on the door. And we hear that, don't we, when we hear about stories about CAP and people who are in debt. The one thing that they won't do is open the door, because there is a fear when that knock comes. But what I do sense and believe is that in her situation, the lady took the initiative and she went to Elisha, because that is where her source of God was. And sometimes we need to make an effort. Seek, it says, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Sometimes we want people to come to us. "Oh, nobody came to see me. Nobody did this." No, it says seek, knock, and ask. That means there has to be something of a motivation within our hearts to reach out to God when we're in certain circumstances. And so the lady responds to the prophet's words. Mum and the boys, they go around all the houses in search of every jar and any container that will hold this precious oil. Look at the prophet's words of faith. "Don't ask for a few." I think those are brilliant words. Be bold, asking for as many as you can get. Can you imagine what it was like to go round to the house? "Sorry to trouble you, Mrs. Khan. Do you think I could borrow a pot or two?" How many do you want? A couple? No, I'll have as many as you can give me. Do you have any more than that? Well, I might have a few more. Can you give me all of them? And so this lady finishes up with all these amazing pots that she's going in faith to fill. Then when they've done that, here comes the exciting bit. The instructions are very clear. It says, go indoors with your boys, close the door and start pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And as they lifted up their flask with the little oil that was so incredibly empty with just a few little drips left in it to fill these jars. Let's try that again, they said. Wow, that filled that one up. Let's put another one underneath. Glug, 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 glug. Faith begins to rise when they are. Get another one. Glug, 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 glug. Where's it all coming from? Glug, 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 glug. It is an amazing story of faith. For the sake of time, I don't want to play around with the story too much longer, but I just want to look at a few things because, first of all, it comes back to the title of the message, Has the Oil Run Out? Has the oil run out, or is it running out for us individually or for us corporately this morning? Are we running, or are we in danger of running on empty this morning? Not just individuals, but for whole churches and denominations, we can be widowed, we can be cut off from the supply that God wants to give us. And the oil may represent a number of things for us this morning, and we'll come back to just at the end. I was speaking to one church minister a little while ago from a particular denomination, and he said, sadly, but very honestly, about this particular denomination, do you know, he says, I can't see one spirit-filled church in my denomination in this area of Kent. And it was with a degree of sadness within his heart. The jar was empty. The oil had run out. And we might be evangelical, we might be charismatic, but we can still run out of oil and be running on empty. In general, I sense there are many churches who are in spiritual widowhood this morning. The life has been sucked out of them for whatever reason. And we feel that there is so much that we need to give to a needy world. Even we're under a sense of duty or even obligation at times. And sometimes we're in a survival mode just to get through week by week, week by week. I think for a lot of churches, and our churches particularly, we're doing an awful lot within the community. And I think that's brilliant. And I'm proud to be part of churches that touch the community in the way that we do. I think my worry and concern is that to have the impact that we're wanting to see, we must individually and corporately be living supplied lives. If we're not living a supplied life, we can't keep on going, giving out, giving out, giving out, giving out without having the divine supply going through us. Because otherwise we just become a social gospel of good works and we don't touch the hearts of men and women in the way that God wants to. Or as someone said, if you're not burning the oil of anointing, then you're burning the wick of life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you're not burning the oil of anointing that God puts in and fills you up, and when you become empty, it's the wick of life that begins to burn. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller until it's no longer there. And what normally happens, despite all the hard work and good intentions, we are the ones who get worn out, burnt out, dead on our feet, and we've got no more to give. But 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 20 says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And we can't have the power without living a supplied life. The king of the kingdom wants his power to be demonstrated through us as churches. And maybe like the widow, it's time to get a little bit more desperate if we really want to see God work and move. Now, the positive here, I do believe God can come again by his Spirit. I believe he can energize us. I do believe that he can pour in a fresh supply of oil today, tomorrow, the weeks and the months that lie ahead, if we're willing and we're desperate enough to go looking for what God has available for us. If we just sit in the house and do nothing, nothing will happen. And of course, for me, the oil always represents the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to get into the theology as to whether you're filled with the Spirit when you're born again or whether you're filled with the Spirit at other times, like on the day of Pentecost. I could probably make a case for both, and I think it's probably both. But more importantly, that there is an ongoing filling regularly into our lives of the oil of God's supply. And so this morning, I suppose the question I would ask as we move into the home straight is, are we living Spirit-filled lives? Only you can answer that this morning. Are we living Spirit-filled lives? Because along with prayer, they are the two most vital keys, I think, in any church life, and particularly across this region. Do we know what it is anymore to be led by the Spirit? Or are we running on low, or has the oil run out? I think God will not move across this area by more effort and by more energy. God will not move across the area because we bring four churches together and we feel that, oh, we're quite big and we're quite strong. Yeah, a larger meeting will make no difference. But those things, yes, play their part. But I think at times it can be a false sense of security. God will move across this area by His Spirit when we have a ready and a willing people who are constantly living Spirit-filled lives, where prayer is a priority. Personal devotional life is scheduled high on our agendas. Four things. I've done it big because I didn't know how big the screen would be. So for those who have got poor sight at the back, I think you can see that. If you haven't, you need to go to the opticians tomorrow. So, okay. The first thing that I see, the widow was obedient. She did what she was told to do by the prophet. She didn't worry about what the neighbours thought. She didn't weigh it up. She was totally and absolutely obedient. Secondly, she was prepared to receive more. So, you know, so often that we're happy with the little. So often we're limited by our expectancy. Or even a willingness to put ourselves in a place to find more. Sometimes when we say, would anybody like prayer? I can guarantee it would be the same two or three people that would come and be prayed for. Because there is something in their hearts where they want more of God. And we have to get more into a natural rhythm of getting people to pray for us, encourage us, bless us, and help us to be filled up. Fourthly, by faith, she used what she already had. By faith, she used what she already had. The widow tipped out only the few little fluid ounces of oil that were left. She had to start from where she was at. So you don't jump from there to there. God sometimes takes us through a process to the place where He wants us to be. And then fourthly, the outworking of it was in private. And I think this is so key. It went on behind closed doors. It's great when we come together, when we pray, when we minister to one another, when we get touched by God, we get filled up. But the real work takes place in our daily lives behind closed doors when we find a soaking, a replenishing of the God supply that He makes available for us. This morning should be an overflow of what is going on in our lives. Now, I know God is gracious and he tops us up in a service like this, but we should come and there should be a degree of excitement and expectancy because we're flowing out of what's been going on during the week. Because the Holy Spirit is God's active agent in so many things, but particularly, definitely, in the lives of us as men and women. The church in the beginning was born by the Spirit, and that is how all spiritual life begins. Nearly finished. When Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia and all its members, do you know one of the things he said to them? You foolish Galatians. You foolish Galatians. What he's referring to there, you began in the spirit and now you're just living by human effort and energy. He called them foolish because he realized, as Paul wrote, there was something far, far greater and better for them to draw from. And if the life and the ministry of the church began in the spirit, it can only continue in the spirit. It's no good going anywhere else to get that supply. There is no other way. And I think there are many jars that maybe need to be filled up. As I mentioned, that can only be done through prayer, waiting on God and spending time in his presence. Living lives that are worthy of his calling, asking specifically that God would fill us with his spirit, living in obedience to his word. And just as I close this morning and hand back to Nick, and maybe we can just worship for a few minutes before we break for tea and coffee, what can we identify? Well, what jars? Of course, there's the jar of Dayspring. There's the jar of Ramsgate. There's the jar of Romley Marsh Community Church. There's the jar of South Kent Community Church, Hythe, and everything that's in between. Jars that God wants to fill with his Holy Spirit. There's the jars of our own lives. And maybe that's the starting place this morning. It's the jar that represents children and youth and those who work and minister to them. And that can be a hard, hard job at times. Unless we're being replenished, takes a lot of hard work. It's a jar of community projects. Our churches are involved in many different community outreaches. We've got the jar of administration and how vital and how important that is in the life of any church. You have a good administrator, you've got a church that runs reasonably smoothly. Massive one, the jar of mission. We'll be having a team going out to Mexico soon, and I'm just amazed at people like John Fudge and others who just have the grace to go and serve in so many different parts of the world. But John wouldn't do it unless the Holy Spirit was filling him up, filling him up, filling him up, filling him up. The jar of finance and budgets. We face that challenge. But we need the Holy Spirit to activate generosity. We need the Holy Spirit to release finances into those things. We need the Holy Spirit to give wisdom to trustees and to others who have to handle those sort of things. And most importantly, the jar of prayer, which if I had time this morning, I would have continued with. But you know, that is so vital, but often it can be the first thing that goes out of our agendas because we're so busy with other things. And so the list could continue. And I would just appeal to you this morning just to graciously consider, when did you really have a last God encounter? Where you know God really touched your lives. And I'm saying the same thing to me because I can just get into routine and just carry on. I say, why? When did God last really touch my life and fill me up afresh? Maybe we could take an honest look at our situations this morning, whatever they are. Has the oil dried up? Is it running out quickly? Are we trying to apply more effort to get things done? And it's becoming harder and harder. Maybe you feel like the widow this morning, your back is against the wall. And that's normally because you're running on empty, or nearly empty. And so I would just like us just to pray this morning, and maybe as we worship, there might be opportunity just to pray for people, but can we just take a moment just to stop? Father, I say thank you for this amazing story of a lady who was in a desperate state, in circumstances that not one of us would want to be in. And yet, Father, she went to the man of God. And Father, the whole situation turned around. And out of all the fear and apprehension of losing everything, Father, you met her need. And Lord, whatever our circumstances are this morning, I pray, would you meet whatever specific need there is in each of our lives? Father, whatever our priorities and our needs are, Father, within our own church families, Father, would you be the one that supplies the need? Father, forgive us when we try to use more effort. Father, forgive us when we try and work harder and harder. And Father, it almost seems that we're sort of treading water or walking through treacle. Father, I want to say thank you that when you put your oil within us, when you fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Father, things become so, so much easier. Father, the challenge might still be there, but Father, it's almost, Father, that we go from a 50cc to a 2000cc because, Father, your Holy Spirit does that for us. And Father, just as we worship this morning, if you need just to fill us up, Father, would you just do that? Lord, if we're empty vessels this morning, Father, there's only one thing that can happen is that we could be open to you refilling us. So, Father, would you help us as we worship in these last moments of our time together in Jesus' name? Amen.